they are being treated in their own country.
Carla Garcia, we want to thank you so much for being with us. Of course, we will continue to follow this very grave issue in Honduras. Carla Garcia is International Relations Coordinator at the Black Fraternal Organization of Honduras. All week, Democracy Now! Will be breaking with convention as we cover the Democratic National Convention, which virtually begins this evening. We'll bring highlights of the speeches of everyone from Bernie Sanders tonight and Michelle Obama and others. That does it for today's show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Phelps, Dina Guzder, Libby Rainey, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Carla Wills, Tammy Warnoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alcock, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Masood, Adriano Contreras. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Thanks.
KBOO Portland.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8 o'clock on Monday. It's time for more of that talk radio with your host, Celeste Carey. Take it away.
Oh, wow. Fanfare. Love it. Love it. Yes, indeed. You are listening to your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metropolitan area, 91.9 if you are in the Columbia River Gorge, you know, like Hood River or Redstone, Washington. If you're in Philomath or Point South at Corvallis, that would be 104.3. And you know the drill. Everywhere else in the world, it is KBO.FM. Good morning. I'm your host today, Celeste Carey, flying solo. Cecil is on vacation. And I hope you're all doing well, especially after the heat blast. I know a lot of Portlanders, Oregonians, don't like heat. But, you know, I always encourage people to go soak it up and, you know, save a copy on their hard drive, because I don't want to hear anybody complaining later about it's so cold. You know, just soak it up and put it in your memory banks and enjoy the fact that you were able to get some nice warmth all the way down into your bones. That's how it works. Today... I had to chuckle, but today I am kind of doing something similar to what Amy Goodman did. I was looking at this as kind of a quote-unquote break from tradition and convention, in that I wanted to cover, I wanted to talk about different ways of voting, and I was trying to figure out a way to make this work without it being a direct call for action, and, you know, because we are kind of limited in how we can do that here on a non-commercial community-based radio station. So I did some research, and what I decided to do was to ask people to call in and discuss with me alternative ways they found in the community or with other voting protection organizations and such, and just discuss some of the alternative information I had found, as well as sharing what I had found in kind of an informational sense, okay? You know, to make sure that people knew that we had these alternatives to make sure that our vote was received and counted. And then lo and behold, after I had made this decision and was still doing my research, I found out that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi decided on Sunday for asking her colleagues to return. So the House is supposed to return and decide for some increased pressure and to get everybody in line to vote, either for or maybe both or all, increasing the funding, increasing an inquiry into what DeJoy is doing, DeJoy being the Postmaster General who is part of Trump's team. What is he doing to dismantle the U.S. Post Office in this time of great need? And also, she was asking for increased constituent action. Now, she can do a call for action. You feeling me? Are you hearing me? I need y'all to read between the lines here. So anything, before I get into this, the first thing I want to do is say good morning and 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. What's that, Celeste? Well, that's the phone number. So you can join us in conversation as we discuss community assistance for getting the vote not only out, but counted. Yeah. So here's some information that I've picked up. These are some things that I have heard said on the news. So I'm kind of like reporting that news that I heard. Okay. And then we want to hear how you can be involved. Maybe you've got additional ideas of what's required to help get the vote out and count it. Remember, it's a dual purpose effort here, not only to make sure people are registered, but if they need to, different ways we can get that vote counted. Okay, and one more time, I'm going to give a phone number. Since I don't have Cecil to bounce off of, if you don't get your call in, you're going to have to listen to me talk. And I know this is a talk show, but that's not quite what we have in mind now, is it? Okay. So today's August 17th, 2020, and let me launch into this. The first piece of information is not new news, but if you weren't watching Rachel Maddow's show, you may not have heard. I don't know. The state of Montana, like some of our other states and like some of our neighbors here in Portland, noticed that post office boxes, mail receptacles were being picked up. So what you had is people questioning and complaining, calling not only their local post offices, but they were calling their electeds and complaining. And there was such a force of complaint coming from the Montana constituency that the USPS, U.S. Postal System, stopped picking up the boxes. They stopped those box collections. And because they stopped in Montana, the effort nationwide, especially in what is being called the battleground states, stopped. So we have Montana, according to Rachel Maddow, to thank for the fact that we still have post office box. Now, I'm not going to lie. While my colleague, Jenna, was out looking at some of the protests and getting footage for that, I was out counting mailboxes. Yeah. And I was trying to see which ones were still around. And I was doing an informal count because I was just curious as to how widespread it was. It turns out that not all of them have been picked up. Now, I don't know if any have been returned yet. And while we're talking, I can do a quick search. But the most important thing is that they have not all been picked up. Okay. Now, in the Washington Post, it stated that 46 states had received these letters from the general counsel. And that, again, is not new news, but it is news in case you haven't been following this. And that because of the changes and modifications, that mail process would be affected. And that was a definite. They made no bones about it. So that really sparked some concern even more so, and people were looking at different ways of approaching this story. Joy Reid of the Readout, and you've heard of Joy Reid a few times before, said she thought in her newscast that it was a good idea to start thinking now, N-O-W, about how you're going to get your vote counted. Voting by mail, as we all know, is safe, but the problem is not that voting by mail is safe, but right now, because it's being hamstrung by the Trump administration, that it's a matter of your vote getting counted. So to reiterate, you've heard our president, Trump, say that vote by mail is full of fraud. Now, what's ironic is that he has voted by mail, and absentee voting is also vote by mail. And I don't know if that escapes him or this is some obfuscation on his point. Well, why would I say that? We know this is obfuscation on his part. I mean, the man essentially came out and said, well, if the post office needs money to do X and they don't have the money to do X, they can't do X. There it is. That's plainly saying I'm hamstringing them, or as former President Obama said, kneecapping. Kneecapping makes it sound like a gangster operation, racketeering or something, doesn't it? I did say something about reading between the lines, didn't I? Anyway, the point is that this is a systemic way, means, of controlling the accuracy of the electoral vote, and you, well, not the electoral college vote, let me be clear, but the vote of the people, the popular vote. And so consequently, you know, you want to do everything you can to offset it. Now, also, as again, as I said, when I was preparing to do this topic, at this point, nothing had been done. House Speaker Pelosi hadn't made her complaint and her call to action yet. There were only a few news articles, and we hadn't heard from Rachel Maddow or Joy Reid or any of the other people. So right now it's on the top of the news, and I'm really thankful. And nonetheless, I'm still going to do this show because I don't feel that there's enough caution and strategizing that we can do until this election is actually over and we are protecting it. Because if the vote is your strongest civil weapon that you have, it stands to reason that you should do everything by all means necessary, vote and protect that vote. So, you know, I'm trying to do my duty here, since I have access to the airwaves and share information with people about different ways that have been suggested that we can protect the vote. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metropolitan area. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Celeste Carey, and I'm waiting on you to give us a call, and we can strategize together, if you will, on ways to make sure that our votes are not only cast, but counted. Phone number is 503-231-8187. And have we any callers yet, Sonia?
Not at the moment. That line is wide open for y'all. 503-231-8181. Giving you time to write it down here. 87.
Okay. So give me a call here and let me know if you're part of any organization or communal effort to get votes together and counted. So as I had stopped, I was saying that Joy Reid in Readout was saying that the big problem was making sure that there's the ability to get them to the commissions on time. So that's a perfect segue to talk about one of the ways that you can get your votes. Now, many of us are comfortable with dropping our votes into a mailbox, and I'm one of these old-fashioned people. And some of you have heard me say before that when I was young, and when I say young, I mean in my teens and early 20s, I used to work as a poll inspector, and I would help people find their addresses, verify their addresses, you know, that they were eligible to vote at some of the polling places where I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. And and kudos to Cori Bush for winning. The Clay family was kind of making a dynasty of controlling the first congressional district, and I was surprised to find that she had really like knocked over the walls and kicked in the doors and made a route, and is looking to represent people who are disproportionately unrepresented in St. Louis as far as social and community services, insurance, housing, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, that's where I cut my teeth in many ways on social and political and community service. And so I have a fondness for going into either a polling place or to the commission and cast my vote. I know it's counted. And I've even been sick in the hospital and called somebody and told them, bring me my ballot, please. Because people who look like me had to fight for years to get ballots. And I'm not just talking about color, I'm talking about gender. So, you know, it means a lot to me. And so I make a point of going to the commission and dropping my ballot into their box. There have been occasions where I've used drop boxes. What are drop boxes, Celeste? Are those for library books or tin cans, aluminum cans? Well, come on now. Get with the program, y'all. Some of you have seen outside of your favorite institutions, you know, like a school or a library, a box that kind of looks like a mailbox, but it's not exactly shaped like it. It's white. You know what I'm talking about, a drop box. Sometimes it's white, sometimes it's a different color. But it says this is an official drop box for you to cast ballots. And those ballots can be for municipal, county, state, or federal elections. So that's another way to get your ballot in. According to Joy Reid, who I think has also consulted Mark Elias of the Democracy Docket, that is one of the best ways to safely cast your ballot without the services of the U.S. Postal Service. Not to besmirch them from his, you know, statement, but just recognizing, once again, like we said, they're being hamstrung. So one of the ways to do that, again, to recover it, is to drop your ballot off at the commission, the voting commission, specifically and personally. But the best strategy is to think right now, as Joy Reid said, and ask for either the right for early voting or the right for absentee voting. So you need to have done that, like, you know, Friday. You know, today is Monday. If you didn't do it Friday, do it today. Call and request. And the only reason really you need is just to say that you are concerned because of the pandemic. That's why a lot of people don't want to vote in person. And it's an opportunity. If you qualify for absentee ballot, by all means, get one. And you've heard our president, Donald Trump, saying that's what he and his wife do. And I would assure you that's his whole plan for getting his vote counted. So, you know, do what he does. If you want the same benefit, which, again, to be redundant, but, you know, emphatic, drop it off, vote, or get it early and drop it off at the commission, and make sure it's an absentee vote if that's what you're eligible for, or just ask to vote early. Now, speaking of voting early.
Oh, speaking of calling, though.
Oh, well, speaking of calling, I'm ready.
I believe we have Brian on the line. Go ahead, Brian, you're live.
Good morning, Brian. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. I really don't have a whole lot to offer other than to just say this whole thing is just so surreal. I just, you know, I listen to some of the mainstream, or I don't listen to real mainstream, but they discuss this issue like it's just another issue. And this is surreal. It's just, it's insane. And I was amazed that fewer callers are battling for your phone line this morning. And I thought, you know, maybe it's just because people are just like deer in the headlights. It's just, you know, every day of the last 3.5 years or whatever it's been has been one ludicrous thing top on another, and then maybe we're just all just so just flabbergasted that it, you know, it just keeps getting worse, and this is so crazy, and here's the president talking about, he's saying right out loud what he intends to do, and how could it be that everybody isn't just totally incensed and you know, yelling at the top of their lungs on from every corner. So maybe it's just people like deer in the headlights thing.
That's a good point. Amazing. That's a good point.
It's amazing. He just came right out. It's like he's always testing the water, and he's like, "Let me see if this will get over." And he did. He's like, "Well, hey, I did that." You know.
I agree. I don't know what's going on with people that they haven't called, and I'm like you, Brian. I hope that people are listening. You know,
yeah, I do. This is
the
really
best
good
weapon
information.
We have.
We need to explore all the ways because it's coming right up, and they're willing to do all kinds of incredible things to get their way. We got to have to counter it with some real thinking. And thank you for doing the show.
Well, thank you for calling in and spread the word. You know, to people. That we have to not only protect our voting opportunity, but the counting of it, and that there are ways that we can strategize to offset this attack.
Right.
So, you know, as you hear something that resonates with you, share it with your friends. You can also go to, what is the name of this organization? Let me look in my notes. Where is it? Is it? Yes, vote.org, vote.org for more information.
Okay, about how alternate ways of getting your vote in.
Yes.
Okay, vote.org. Okay, great information, all of it. Thank you, Celeste, for all you do, and I'll keep listening.
All righty. Thank you, Brian.
We've got Cornell on the line and someone else behind him.
Okay, let's speak. Good morning, Cornell.
Good morning, Celeste. This is the first time caller for me.
Oh, well, thank you, and welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. I listen to you guys' show quite a bit because I'm a truck driver, you know.
All right.
And, I live in Portland, so I'm local now. But I've often thought about, and this is an opportunity for me to suggest this to you, to the audience and you, the voting situation. Is it possible that we could figure out with the cell phones that we have and email addresses and our social security numbers and stuff like that, is there a way that we could possibly use our cell phones to vote as opposed to going in through the ballot boxes and the situation with what the system is trying to close down the post office and things like that? And that's really basically what I wanted to throw out there, just an idea of somehow we could use our phones or our electronic systems to vote.
Well, you know, that's a good question. And with technology becoming more influential and pervasive in our life, there's a good chance we might go that route. I would assume that that would take a federal act to allow voting. And then the question would be, how would you safeguard it so that you didn't have voter fraud? Because as many people know, not only can you have more than one line on your phone, you could buy a burner phone. So I'm sure they could say, well, we could say if a person's name is not attached to the phone, and, you know, and figure out some technology to block multiple calls or something like that. But I would say, before I would dismiss it, I would say that's something you should bring up to your local elected. And also, like, if there's a voting support group, you know, like the League of Women Voters or something like that, you might bring it to them. Another group is Democracy Docket, D-O-C-K-E-T, and I would check in with them and say, and, you know, and ask them the question, because every idea starts, you know, and this might be some way that we could make sure that the right to vote is widespread. So I would start talking to organizations that support the democratic right to vote. And I'm using small d democracy right now. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
No, I definitely think that, like I said, I just wanted to put it out there because, you know, one mind can come up with an idea and it might take a million to put it in effect, you know?
So right,
I do stand by, and I think that your idea is great. So basically what I wanted to put in. I am not even a tech geek or anything like that. I'm not even close to it, okay? But I just want to throw that thought out, and I really appreciate you taking my call and really having this conversation.
Well, what I would say is you can connect with Democracy Docket online. I'm looking to see if there's a phone number for them. I don't see a phone number, but the name of the place is Democracy Docket, D-O-C-K-E-T, and they are .com. So democracydocket.com, and you connect with them next time you're online and see if there's a way to connect, because I'm looking and I don't see a phone number. It looks like you only connect online for what I'm doing really quickly. And find out how to get your idea moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I appreciate you, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling in and for the great idea. You're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, and we'll go to our next call.
We got Edie.
Good morning, Edie.
Hello. Can you hear me through my mask? I'm outside.
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you. The reason that I'm calling is that I am vehemently, vehemently opposed, life and death, to telephone or online voting. There are so many ways in which phone calls can be hacked or prevented. When the police are doing protest control, they shut down cell phones. They also they have stingers to redirect calls to them so they can keep track of who is on the phone doing what when, and the contents. The Israeli government for decades has been able to control or record the content of phone calls in the United States. And when it is online, when all one has to do is have software controlling what votes are. In fact, that's one reason why all the electronic voting machines have been seen as invalid and unreliable and corrupted, in fact, even built to be that way, and why there have been so many lawsuits against the companies that own the secret software and the companies that have promised certain results long before the election, and sometimes had official results where more people were supposed to have voted for a Republican candidate, for example, than actually were available to be voting at all. And people had so many cell phone photographs and videos of their electronic vote switched in front of their eyes in the voting booth. So I'm vehemently opposed to that. I want to say that in 2004, I was with another man in a car watching over a Multnomah County elections office drop box in the Hollywood district behind a U.S. bank, a parking lot, to make sure that no one was stuffing the ballot boxes so that no one could put their ballots in. A lot of people who vote at the last minute, maybe there's last minute information, or they kind of like the idea of doing it on the day itself or something, but we were watching to make sure that the different ballot drop boxes were not tampered with and people prevented from voting before it be picked up at 8. And it's nighttime in November 3, 2004, and suddenly a moving truck backs up towards the ballot box and open up the back door, and people look around, and they're all in black, and they move and they look, they're examining the drop box. And so I have my partner call in the report, and 911 operators like that would manage to get involved, they didn't care, and to be videoing it. And I went forward to confront them, thinking that I could be killed. You know, they we couldn't really tell what, if those were sidearms they had, and if they're going to be doing something so outrageous, you know, they're already dishonest and bad that they're going to, you know, kill me. But I thought it was worth risking my life to protect the integrity of the electoral system. Not that this is what I want in the long haul, but in the short term, I certainly want a democracy and government. And so it turns out that it was just some people who were going to be moving someone in an apartment complex, and they were kind of ridiculous and inept, and were paying attention to this voter box that they didn't know was that they ran into. But the fact that I was willing to protect the right of other people to have a voice and choice and how we're going to use our collective resources to collectively solve our collective problems is a commitment that I have. And I think there are many ways in which we can make sure that's done. And I can't just be smug that I know that I already hand deliver it to the Multnomah County Elections Office on 11th and Morrison in the drop box to make sure it's counted. And I make sure that they say that my ballot has been open and counted. I don't know if they've counted it to the votes that I want. And I encourage people to also volunteer at the different county offices. There's been a lot of corruption I've observed, especially during the organic labeling, where in the Clackamas County office, they were counting votes as opposed to labeling when those votes on the ballots are very clearly, unambiguously for labeling.
And okay. So Edie, I know I have a couple of people kind of backed up, but I want to thank you for making a point that it's a matter of vigilance and diligence when it comes to protecting the vote. But I would like to encourage you not to put yourself out there like that, because unfortunately, having worked for communities and neighborhoods for crime prevention, you know, I'm duty bound to tell you, you know, while you were right to want to protect your vote, yourself in harm's way is not necessarily a good idea, because they could dispatch you and still take the box, you know.
We can require that we have public ownership of the software to count it, and public ownership of the machines that do the counting. Therefore,
we can try, but we're not going to get that far. Look at how many constraints are on us already. you know, and so much wealth and material ownership is being consolidated within a few people's hands. I do say, though, we should keep trying to get control of these things, like you said, but we should not put all of our eggs in that basket. We should be really diverse in looking at ways of battling the machine, because the powers that be are looking at multifaceted ways of taking our rights from us, you know, taking opportunities from us.
Everything you say is absolutely true.
No, but I still thank you for being willing to be out there on the front line, you know, looking to keep the ballot box safe. And next time, you know, make sure you got somebody with you so it's not just you, because we don't want them to dispatch you and then keep doing the bad.
Oh, no, we were a partner. Doing. He just didn't want to risk his life.
Well, you know, there's some wisdom in that, because remember the old adage, those who fight and run away live to fight another day. There's a point to that. Don't forget.
Right. You're absolutely right. Thank you for all you say and do.
All right. Thank you, Edie. Take care.
All
and
right,
you are listening to KBOO Portland. The phone number is 503-231-8187. And who do we have next?
We got Joe.
All righty. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I wasn't able to listen to the whole show, so forgive me if any of this has been mentioned, but I gather that you're, when I did tune in, that you're talking about voter rights and ballots as like a practical reality.
What I'm actually talking about, Joe, just so since you didn't catch the first part, I'm talking about ways of assuring that your vote gets counted by the commission, so that you're not voting and you're not stuck with the U.S. Post Office while we're having it hamstrung. So we're talking about alternative ways of getting your ballots counted, and I'm sharing information.
Okay, yeah, I guess I caught that part of it too. And my point, I think, is still relevant, but I wanted to point out that the libraries in Multnomah County, at least, are a, you know, extension of the elections office. And we are
Yes, they are.
For secure ballot acceptance. And I wanted to make a connection. Maybe some of your listeners have read in the Oregonian yesterday, the workers of the Multnomah County Library released an op-ed calling out the layoffs that they are trying to push through when there's no budget crisis as an irresponsible, to say the least. And it's not mentioned in there that we are elections workers, but I think that it's worth making the connection to, you know, what those layoffs mean in this election year when we're talking about assaults in one way or another to the practical enfranchisement of voting, and that when we're laying off library workers, we are laying off workers who are tasked with making sure that everyone's ballot gets processed right. And it may not come at a direct expense to us offering that service, but because we are seeing labor squeeze and other morale issues and other practical difficulties forced on the workers in this time, it, you know, statistically is potentially, you know, going to have an impact on whether that service is reliable. And it, you know, may be no one's intention to like miss a ballot or something, but if workers are understaffed and overworked, you just have to be realistic about what you're doing to your system that is supposed to be carrying out this function.
Well, that is a very good point and important for us to know. Fortunately, the libraries and the drop boxes for ballots, those are not the only places where you can drop it, but mm-hmm. the side note that you're making, I want to make sure people hear it, is that this is yet one more pillar of community that's being attacked, and that is our libraries. We count on them as ordinary people for not only entertainment but education. And when you don't have access to them, and the people who are in them are either under pressure because they're short-staffed or other constraints. It's not the same rich experience. So while we're looking at finding alternative places to cast your ballot, be mindful of the fact that there are other battles we have to fight as well, and those battles include what's happening to the people who are working at the Multnomah County Library. So don't forget, this is a multifaceted issue.
One last thing.
Really?
That if people want to follow that struggle and get involved and learn more, we have a website, SaveLibraryStaff.org, SaveLibraryStaff.org, to get involved and learn about supporting this pillar of democracy in our community.
All righty. Well, thank you for the update.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So as you can see, like I said, this is a multifaceted attack. And it's really important that we have a multifaceted response. The powers that be, and they're not just Republicans. You know, there have been times when we've had some good, programs and social responses from the Republican Party. And to my surprise, I was a coordinator of one of those efforts. And there are a lot of people who thought it was an anathema. They thought it was a bad thing. And that had more to do with how it was implemented than it being intrinsically, full of built-in evil, so to speak. And that was when I worked under the U.S. Attorney and ran a Department of Justice program that was created under the watch of Bush Sr. And I know some people are saying heresy, slut heresy. There's nothing that the Bushes did that was right. And I want to say, remember that people are multifaceted, and sometimes you have a good thing coming out of a reviled group and a bad thing coming out of a revered group. Case in point, look at all the draconian measures that came out of the Clinton administration. Especially this attacks on welfare and work and school, and lest we forget the Patriot Act. When did that come into effect? Who was president? Yes, Barack Obama. So you have to recognize that the powers that be are multifaceted in their approach, and they'll mix a little good in with bad and some bad in with good, and we have to be vigilant. We have to be diligent. And you'll hear me say those words a lot because I firmly believe in them. You have to be on the clock, on the J-O-B, as we used to say, 24/7, 365, because there are agencies that don't want us to succeed. They just don't. That's not in their plan. And so, the pillars of our community, of our society, of our middle class, however you want to call it, are being eroded. Home ownership is down. College is too expensive for middle class people to afford. Education has been dumbed down. Social Security has been under attack since it was created, if you do your history. And health care is under attack. So these are the things that raise people up from what you would call serfdom, or in this country, sharecroppers. And sharecroppers can be somebody who works at a sweatshop, as well as in the traditional sense, somebody who's barely getting by because everything that they produce is taken by the owner of the property. Come on now. I'm telling you the truth. 503-231-8187. And let me get through the rest of the alternative ways of getting your vote cast. a lot of people know about drop boxes. And you do know, you, like Edie said, you need to check your drop boxes and report any irregularities you see to whoever has the drop box, whether it be a school or a library, you know, or something along those lines. For all we know, that could be at county-owned health clinics. They may be there, too. The other thing is you can have a community ballot collection. And according to Kendall and Course, writers for the Wall Street Journal, this is a very common feature in really well-organized communities. And as you heard me say to, I think it was Cornell, vote.org or democracydocket.com are good ways to get more information about them. Vote.org, I'll spell it out, V-O-T-E, V as in Victor, O-T as in Tom, E.org for more information about these. There are apps that you can use on your computer or your telephone for ballot tracking, so you can see where your ballot is at any given moment. And that's a good thing for people who have the capacity to do that. And, you know, your library has a computer if you don't. But getting back to what Joe says, make sure our libraries stay open. Constituent power. Okay, you heard me say that early. And I was being a little, what's a good word I can use for it without saying like I was scheming? Okay, I was talking between the lines. Here we go. When I said it's a little difficult, I had to be very careful about how I do a call for action. But according to Ezra Levin of MSNBC, constituent power is a good thing. It's a powerful tool. As a matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi said something along those lines, too. You know what Nancy Pelosi said? She says there needs to be some constant constituent action in front of their electeds to get their electeds off of their rusty dusty and back to Congress. Wow. Constituent action. We're constituents. We're constituents. Wow. No, I'm not being sarcastic. Remember, I said I'm speaking between the lines. And so there it is. But my point being that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that not only should the House return to D.C. and make a decision on how they're going to take care of this issue with the U.S. Postal Service, but she says there needs to be constituent action in front of their post offices, in front of their elected officials' houses, you know, talking to their governor, whoever. Nancy Pelosi said y'all should do that. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that that's really important, because that's how, according to Rachel Maddow now, Montana constituents complained and got action, and why we still have mailboxes on our corners. So it is very, very, very important. 503-231-8187. I got a few minutes before the old mole variety hour comes up and the rest of the public affairs. Any calls there for me, Sonia?
We got a couple of them. First up is Michael. Go ahead. You're live.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. So I am a genuine computer scientist, technical expert, and I'm calling to say that the idea of voting by phones is incredibly dangerous and should never be done, because the election will be hacked if that happens. Even the voting machines are really unsafe, and the only good kind of voting machine would be one where you make your choices on the screen and then it prints out a paper ballot, and then you look and make sure that it printed out the same thing on your paper ballot that you thought you voted for. I mean, there's just no way that these things won't get hacked. I mean, there's this concept of an air gap, which means you don't hook this voting system up to the internet, so there's like a physical gap between the internet and this particular machine. But there have even been attacks across air gaps, like the way we attacked the Iranian nuclear centrifuges. So the idea that you're going to take your phone and vote is just nuts. It's an open invitation to even worse chaos than we have already. So I just wanted to say, as someone who's a technical expert, that we should not do that. That's a bad idea.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard everything that Cornell and I said. To his defense, he did say he's not a tech person. And I did say, well, I'm not sure that that could work because it could be hacked and because you can have multiple lines on a phone or get a burner phone. So I do agree with you. But what I also said is that I didn't want to squelch his little gray cells working and trying to come up with alternatives, but to talk to organizations like, you know, vote.org or Democracy Docket. And, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, and no invention worked the first time it was created, except maybe Nikola Tesla, because he made it all in his head first. So I do appreciate you saying that, you know, votes are not safe. I think by phone and the internet are not safe, and I think Edie said it as well. You're absolutely right. But we as ordinary people need to start brainstorming, I think, and coming up with ideas. And so when you call in, you help us, you know, not go down a dead-end street. But we need you now because you have that expertise to take it one step higher and help people who are not tech, you know, refine their ideas. And so thank you for your call, because it's really important that the knowledgeable voices do speak out. I do appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to say that I was in no way trying to cast any shadow on somebody who called in who wasn't a technical expert.
I understand. You know. Yeah, I understand, Michael.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, you know, I did say, you know, at the time, you know, that it wasn't the best idea, but I was happy that he was giving it thought. You know, and we should support that, even if sometimes the idea might be misled. There's ways that we get together and we create a common vision. And so for anybody else who might want to say, okay, you know, don't do that, we got it. We're not going to do it. But we still want to do trial and error and brainstorm. And, you know, when you brainstorm, the first time you think of the idea, you just put it down on the board. And then as we go through the list, you know, then we refine and eliminate. But thank you all for calls, because this is the process by which we secure community and our inalienable rights and our common language and common affection that bonds us. Who's next?
Robbie.
All righty. Robbie?
Good morning. Yeah, this is something very that I follow very closely, and I really appreciate how you said that we should be, you know, attributing stuff, you know, information, knowledge to this to try to find a solution. So I'm not going to say that it's all been discussed. You know, cell phones can get hacked really easy, and I want to say the reason why, because that will help us define this a bit. But the paper trail is what people who monitor elections, the paper trail is gold for making sure that you know, that your ballot is counted, and the paper trail is missing in a lot of those voting machines, which is what was being reverberated. So if we could, you know, maybe there could be a system where you use your cell phone to print, you know, your voted ballot out. And I really hate to see paper being used, but I don't see another way around it. But I did want to bring up some articles, if that's okay, unless you wanted to talk on that.
We still have a few minutes, so go ahead and bring a couple of those articles to the front.
So the USPS they just filed for a patent on blockchain technology, blockchain chain technology, which is like the cryptocurrency type stuff. It's mm-hmm. really not explained well enough yet, but apparently what they're doing is they're setting up an election system through the USPS now, and this filed patent. It seems to be the the method in which they're doing it. Are you there?
Yes, I am. So it would probably be better if you would give me the title and a URL so people can hear that, because we don't have enough time to discuss it yet.
Sure. I have the it's from Harold Sheets. It's a article that came out August 16th, 2020, and it's titled USPS Files Patent for Blockchain-Based Voting System. Anyway, I wanted to give that out. And also, a lot of people might not be aware of this yet, but there was our voting – sorry, I'm trying to find the headlines of the article. Dang, I just had it up. But basically, Oregon, they are laying off all their staff. In May and in April, they started restructuring how they're doing the voting system here, which is really scary because I came from Arizona – and it was nearly pointless to vote because of the people that were watching the voting. It was such a, I mean, it was so bad corruption then, you know. Anyway, I don't need to go into that, but Oregon's voting is really good, and I'm a little bit concerned because Willamette Weekly put out an article talking about how, oh, wait, I know where I can find the article. Here it is. It's Willamette Week. It's titled Secretary of State's Office to Reduce the Number of People Working on Elections Security before May.
So, oh, wow.
They laid off all these security people for the election. So this is some stuff that I just wanted to throw into the, you know, this pool of information that we got, and trying to make sure that our votes are counted, because, you know, like you, like, we got to fight for our, you know, I like what you said. You've been fighting for your vote, and it's really important. I just hope that we still have democracy.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm sorry, you know, next time call earlier, Robbie, so we can share information, but thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And you are listening to More Talk Radio. Do we have any other callers, Sonia?
Yeah, Warren would like to try to squeeze in, if that's doable.
Okay, I think we can just squeeze one if you are quick to the point. Good morning.
Good morning, Warren.
Good morning, Warren.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did not hear what Cornel West said. I have a great deal of respect for him. But just last night, and so it was interesting, the subject had come up about voting by the phone. But my wife pulled up on YouTube last night something about, and it was the first thing that had come up about Edward Snowden on Trump. And this was something, an interview that was about 40 minutes long. And I just wanted to add to it that in everything that Edward had talked about in that interview, part of it was about how easily phones can be hacked and how they can control anything on your phone that they want to. These corporations that do these kinds of things to do surveillance and that sort of thing. And I just wanted to get behind the other two callers that had said that voting by your phone is an incredibly bad idea. Yeah, it would be good for people to start researching that and getting to understand how that sort of thing works. And that's all I've got. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Warren. And again, oh, just so you know, that was Cornell, but unfortunately not Cornell. Well, I shouldn't say unfortunately. It wasn't Cornell West. It was a caller sharing the name. And again, you know, he says he's not a tech person, but what I appreciated about his call is that he's trying to think out of the box in ways that we ordinary folk can protect ourselves. And phone voting is dangerous, as I had said when he called. But here's the thing. We have, in the words of Hercule Poirot from Agatha Christie, one of my childhood delights, you know, got the little gray cells working. And that's when we start finding ways of fighting back. You know, the powers that be would help us stay ignorant and browbeaten and not want to fight for our rights, you know, to be more concerned with fighting for getting that Rolex or that Lexus or that sandwich from that chicken sandwich from the fast food place, you know, or the latest clothes. You know, they don't want us having the tools of education and self-improvement. So, you know, when we have those moments to exercise our gray cells and our communal considerations. Let's do that, and let's find new ways to fight to keep those rights. I want to thank everybody who called. Thank you so much for the information, and share what you heard me talk about today, and get out and help your neighbors vote and get their vote counted. Make some constituent noise. Seek to vote early, whether you are voting by mail or by absentee ballot. Start today so that you can get your vote out. And again, make some constituent noise, okay? That means get out there in front of your electeds and all the people in power who are controlling our systems, and let them know you're not happy, just like Montana did, so we can stop the collection of mailboxes and further the improvement of all of our working classes and working cells for our hopes and dreams. This is your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. If you like our programming, support us. Go to our website at www.kboo/give and support us if you can. And thank you all for calling. Hear you next week.
This is KBOO Portland. This is the Old Mole Variety Hour coming up.